From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Richard Schindel has released 8 studio albums and 2 live recordings with songs that tell tales of those lost or experiencing difficulty or one form or another, as well as more lighthearted fare. He will be in Columbus, Ohio on April 4th with 6 string concerts. Welcome, Richard Schindel, to Craft.
Thank you.
Well, I've been listening to one of your albums, Not Far Now. It was the song titles themselves that made me want to tear open the CD and put it in the stereo. Song titles like Parasol Ants and A Juggler Out in Traffic. I thought, I need to listen to this because I really like that as a metaphor.
Thank you.
So tell me about writing your newer CD, 13 songs you may or may not have heard before. I understand it's a retrospective of your career.
Yeah, it's a record of songs I wanted to revisit from various albums in the past. Songs that for one reason or another, not that there was anything wrong with the original versions, but they might have morphed in the playing over many years of playing them in concert. Or there might have been some element of the song that I wanted to emphasize by playing it differently. I think I wanted to try them, some of them at least, with a more stripped-down minimalist approach. And then there's one new song on the record, which is called Satellites, which is going to be on my latest studio record, which I'm actually working on right now. I'm speaking to you from a studio and recording studio in upstate New York. So that Satellite song is sort of a teaser for the new record, which is taking forever to record.
Why do you feel that it's taken forever? You've been on hiatus from touring, I think, for a year. Is that the forever you're referring to, or has it been in the pipeline longer than that?
Longer than that, yes. It's been in it's been more like 3 years since I started recording this record, and it's been a wonderful process. And I think that's part of the reason why why it continues, because I'm just enjoying it so much. I don't really want it to end, but I do want it to end. So I want the record to come out, and that the wanting the record to come out is becoming a stronger feeling than wanting to keep recording. So I think there's a good chance that it will come out this year.
Well, that's good. It's always great to have goals.
Yeah.
Like that.
Deadlines too.
Deadline, yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about Satellites, the song that's on this retrospective that's coming out. And how did that, as the only new song, how did that end up on the album?
Well, Satellites is a song, it's I wrote it a few years ago. It's been around a little while now. And it's a song that takes place down in Buenos Aires, or at least starts off there, at a street protest. There are a lot of street protests are a fairly common occurrence in Buenos Aires. There are probably dozens of them every day in the city of Buenos Aires. People are very exuberant in their making their cases. You know, teachers, metallurgists, students, police officers, nurses, they all take to the streets when they feel like there is a grievance. And it's sort of a way of life down there. And sometimes those protests become rather heated and the riot police show up, and it can get not nasty, but it can just become very intense. And so I imagined one of those street protests, and I imagined an international news crew covering it and sending the feed to a satellite going all over the world. And then I imagined the president of the country, knowing that this is being broadcast all over the world, thinking about whether or not to crack down or not. Do you send in the riot police? Do you allow them to protest? If you don't crack down, what will the markets think? If it's, for example, a labor union asking for more wages, what will management think? What will investors think? What will the IMF think? And so a president is kind of between the local situation and the global situation. And the song tries to show both of those perspectives.
It's unusual to have thoughts of such diverse entities as the IMF occur to somebody as you write a song. That's really a large swath of intellectual territory you're going for there.
I don't know about that. But when you live in Argentina, and not only in Argentina, I mean, I'm not an economist and never studied economics and have no intention to, But when you live in a place like Argentina, where there's rampant inflation, and you know, you always have to be paying attention to what the dollar is worth on any given day, and it's not just a matter. It's not just if you're an investor. I mean, if you're a person who wants to live, you have to know how much a dollar is worth and how much the country risk, basis points. You have to know all these things because it's kind of a jungle economically down there. And I've learned a lot about how the world works living in Argentina. And I didn't know any of this stuff before I moved down there because, you know, you live in the States, a dollar is a dollar. You don't really think about it too much, or at least I didn't.
Fire on the thoroughfare. No one's going anywhere. They say these are but the vestiges. Their banners look like bandages. A martyr's face an acronym. Beat the drum and sing the hymn. Struggle red and Bible black. The right squad is holding back.
So things like the IMF or how Moody's or S&P affects how what they say about a country affects the country's economics, important information for normal people in Argentina.
Well, now that I've said that, I'll take it back and say that I think a lot of songs like a lot of protest songs do have a lot of economic stuff in it. So you're working with a really traditional, I think, or at least really well-respected background in thinking about things like the IMF. It just struck me as a really interesting background to a song. You had said earlier that the songs changed for you throughout the years. What are some of the changes that have gone on in the songs that make them so powerful for you to want to re-record them?
I think mostly it's because when I first recorded many of these songs, I did so not long after having written them. And in some cases they were written, you know, these are songs from the beginning of my career when I don't think I was quite as comfortable in front of a microphone as I am now. And, you know, I've learned a lot about how to sing a song. And also, if you record a song right after you write it, that can be great. It can have a certain kind of freshness or immediacy that translates into, you know, in the recording and to the listener. But it can also, if you do it right away, if you record a song right away without giving it a chance to find its place by playing it in front of live audiences for, say, a year or a few months, you can sort of settle on how a song sounds prematurely. And I think in some cases, in some of my songs, I might have done that. I've learned more about how to play them since then, and so I wanted to give them a chance to benefit from that experience. Okay. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
It makes sense. It makes me wonder when your fans get to hear the different kinds of versions. What kind of feedback you get from them? Is it something where they say, well, I like both versions, or do you have people say, I like the original, or I like the way you're doing it now better? What kind of, are there trends that you hear from your fans?
Well, there's one big dividing line. Some people, if I do a version which is very electric, let's say, although there aren't any on this particular record that are particularly electric, if I do a live show and, you know, I'm playing an electric guitar and there's a band, there are always some people in the audience who prefer an acoustic show, and they might tell me so after the fact. That's fine. I know how that is. And the other way, some people prefer a fuller arrangement with maybe an electric guitar and a bass and drums and another electric guitar or something. And I try to mix it up so that in my shows, so that the audience, an audience which has seen me in one venue in 2012, if they come back in, hopefully, in 2013, they're not going to see the same thing. I might have played solo in 2012, and then when I come back in 2013, I might be playing with a drummer and a bass player and a violinist or something. So the versions are always different. It's not, nothing is ever written in stone. I don't play with any kind of recorded tracks. Everything is completely live. completely naked, hanging it out there. And every night is different. I mean, even within the same tour with the same musicians, every version is completely different. And sometimes I'll just change an arrangement in the middle of it, change the feel. Instead of playing double time, play half time, change the key.
That's got to be a difficult thing to keep up with for your other musicians. Do they ever say, "Oh no, he's changing the key again"?
It's especially difficult if I do that and I haven't told them before the song starts. That's what they hate the most.
Yeah, I've often decided to sing a song in a different key than it's being played, but that's never been intentional. I feel your pain there. Well, we will look forward to the naked performing of Richard Schindel on April 4th when you come to the Columbus area to play with the Six String Concert Series.
Well, thank you. It's a real pleasure to come back to Columbus, and I have some friends there I'm looking forward to seeing. And I think I've played Six String, I don't know how many times, but it's a great series. And yeah. Columbus is very lucky to have that organization in town. There are very few organizations like that in the country that are that solid and that long-lived, and they do a great, great job. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Richard Schindel.
Thank you. Thanks, Doug.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.